Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're discussing King Kong.
1933.
This one's been a long time coming.
Oh yeah,
and,
for sure.
And I've been excited to watch it, and I was excited to watch it, and I'm glad I did.
I recently got a chance to see it in the on the big screen, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, while watching it on my TV, I was thinking that it would be great to see on the big screen. Mostly because of the effects, I think, hold up. Like, I feel like the animation is crude.
Yeah.
But, like, all the compositions and, like, the compositing and they all look pretty good.
I think it's really well done. Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know. I feel like sometimes, like, things that come after movies like this, like, don't look as good. Like, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
The original Jurassic Park looks amazing. And I feel like there's some CG monster movies that have come since that still don't look as good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a notion where there's a greater suspension of disbelief when it's something practical and animated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the, you know, I don't know who said it, but there's this thing where they were talking about how practical effects look fake, but they feel real. Mm-hmm. And like CGI looks real, but it feels fake.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gets that kind of becomes that type of hipster, like I prefer vinyl kind of quality to it. But there is something about it.
Yeah.
That you're more willing to suspend, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's like it's kind of like also like where like certain things, like if you go see like a stage play, you let them get away with certain things because mm-hmm. you're like having a real experience of real people in front of you and you're watching this thing. Yet when you go to a movie, which is like this fake thing on a big screen, it's you want it to be, they better be more real. They better be realistic.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of has that same kind of thing where like when it's practical, you judge it by other rules.
Yeah. Do you think I was watching it and I was like, it seems like doing stop motion animation, especially this is probably one of the first earlier uses of it. Like I'm wondering if they would have done like a man in the suit, but used all like kind of the same kind of effects, you know, instead of it being a stop motion puppet, if they just shot a guy in a suit, would it be as cool? Would it look better? I don't know.
I think, for one thing is when because he's a puppet, you can have the, you know, it's like, because like a human's arms aren't as long as a gorilla's arms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can have the proportions right in a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Godzilla kind of like, sometimes he's really tall, sometimes he's not so tall, it seems.
Yeah.
Like. I said Godzilla, I meant King Kong.
King Kong. Yeah.
We are talking about King Kong here.
Yeah. Carl Denham, it says at the beginning he does outdoor films, which is like, is that documentaries? Is that what they mean? Just like nature documentaries?
No, I missed that part. I mean, he clearly is a guy who does like jungle adventure. He does adventure films that he shoots out in these places.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, this is the first movie we saw that ran an overture before the movie started.
Yeah. Did you listen to the whole overture?
No. I'm sure you did. Yeah, I know. Because you're in.
Yeah. It was like 4 minutes. It wasn't too bad.
I think I saw it. I mean, I think they ran the overture when I saw the TCM presentation in theaters. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, this is cute. It's funny because like, it's a picture of a black and white curtain.
Yeah. I think in a theater-going experience, like, that would get you in that kind of 1933 mode before
totally.
The movie starts.
Yeah, I think so. I liked a lot of the Carl Denham dialogue at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
It's just the way he talks and that type of, you know, old-timey movie talk.
Yeah, Stevie was saying that they're almost like caricatures of white guys. she says it's like there's definitely some sort of like questionable things as far as race goes.
Oh man.
But
I started digging deep about this movie, and it definitely and like the this all this stuff about the allegory that this movie has about America's history with slavery, and it just like it really started bumming me out about the movie. I mean, I mean, they bring him in chains and all that talk about where they say stuff like, we're going to teach him fear. You know, he was king in his land, but now we're going to teach him fear. And it's like, it gets like really, also, can I say overall, and a problem I have with this movie compared to the other King Kong movies, just because obviously King Kong is a character that I definitely like a lot. There's no empathy for Kong in this.
No.
No one gives a fuck about Kong.
No.
I
Not
mean, even
even Anne.
yeah, and Anne is the one you look to do it.
Yeah, and I guess
She's
that's
like, "Oh
kind of
God, he
what,
was so awful."
and that's kind of what Peter Jackson did.
Yeah.
He kind of did
All
that.
yeah, and in that the 70s Kong movie too.
Yeah. He was like, Peter Jackson was probably like, I like Kong a lot. He needs to be more sympathetic. So I'm going to make the same movie, but make
Yeah, it's
Kong
like
a good guy.
right. It's like Guillermo del Toro being like, I like the Creature of the Black Lagoon a lot, but they don't do it. I just kept laughing. I mean, I obviously I'm a child because I keep like every time they mention gas bombs. Okay, so you know I'm square. Everybody knows you're square. The toughest mugs I've ever looked at. Oh, and the other thing about when he talks about he needs a girl. I love, he has a line. Oh yeah, he's talking about like needing a girl for his movie. He goes, because the public, bless him, must have a pretty face to look at. There's so much of this opening dialogue. It's just so funny and so great. And they talk about how like that you know there's danger here. Like there's danger in New York too. And they're like, yeah, but they know that kind of danger. There's a really cool old shot of Times Square. It's just cool looking. So story wise, he's leaving in the morning to go on this adventure movie he wants to make. It's kind of like he's gonna go there and let the movie kind of make itself when they're in the place, basically. It's almost like there's a very kind of like Roger Corman-esqueness of the style of movie making. It's also kind of a thing for like old movies did that too. We're like, all right, we're here. But I remember when I was an intern at Conquer New Horizons, and I'd hear stories where it'd be like one of the times when there are like big fires going on in California, which is like, happening more and more. But it's one of those summers of a lot of fires. They got a couple of like these during like the like early 90s Corman kind of ensemble of people, these two like Rick Dean and Maria Ford. They says, oh, let's we'll go there and we'll have like just get some shots of like Maria Ford near the fire, like she's like a detective investigating, and then we'll have Rick Dean in certain areas being sneaky, like he's starting the fires, and then they'll kind of like figure out a movie later. And this is kind of like that same kind of attitude. Says we're gonna take advantage of the environment and then let the movie fall into place based on whatever we find.
Have you seen the Gareth Edwards movie Monsters?
No.
It's something we should, well, I mean, definitely cover. But he took a film crew and a couple actors, I think Scoot McNairy, and I'm not sure who the female lead is. He went down, I think it was South America or Mexico, like after a like huge hurricane damage, and did a movie with them as they're, trying to get back to the United States. And they're essentially following the aftermath of two or three giant kaiju
Really?
that came through. So they use a lot of the kind of rubble and stuff as a backdrop, and then do like some digital additions on it where they'll like add tanks and stuff in the background, or smoke in the horizon, or like monster footprints and stuff.
And do you actually see monsters in this movie? Oh, cool.
But
All right.
it's along the lines of his Godzilla movie,
Uh-huh.
where they're kind of more in the background.
Yeah.
And as the movie goes, they start kind of catching up to where those monsters are. And he's just a photographer, and he's not necessarily a bounty hunter, but he's down there to bring this guy's daughter back to America.
All right, I'm interested.
But it's on our list, and we'll definitely cover it. It's an interesting movie.
All right, cool.
But yeah, that's kind of what that movie feels like too. Is it's go shoot something and then do something later with it.
Yeah.
But Denham knows, or is like pretty much the only person that knows.
Yeah, that he Kong knows where he's going.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what yet to expect, but he knows there's something.
Yeah, and he's heard of Kong. He reminds me of John Goodman in Skull Island.
Yeah.
He's like, he's going to get all these people to go to this island, and only he really is the only one that knows what's on the island.
Yeah, but he doesn't know he's a gorilla. I don't think he just knows that there's something called Kong.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's like when you think of the idea, it's like we hear Kong, you immediately picture a gorilla. Yeah. But like before Kong could have been anything.
Yeah.
So he goes to find a female star, and his first stop is the women's mission.
Yes.
I mean, there's the women talking in line. They're like, they're in line and they're all complaining about whatever.
Yeah.
There's, they go, someone comes up in the back of the line and goes, what do they serve here? And the woman says, soup for dinner, coffee and sinkers in the morning.
What sinkers? Is it, it's like donuts?
Yeah. So I just started looking up sinkers and went down an interesting internet rabbit hole. The best part about it is some people hear it as coffee and stinkers in the morning. Uh-huh. And so people were thinking that stinkers would mean eggs, because eggs have the that kind of smell.
Yeah.
And other people thought coffee and stinkers in the morning is like, it's soup for dinner, that's a meal. But in the morning, it doesn't say coffee and stinkers for breakfast, it just is in the morning. And someone was saying that it was the flatulence caused by the soup from dinner. But I think the consensus, or at least the answers in the forums that I liked, I hear sinkers myself. Uh-huh. And I assumed it was donuts, and sinkers is also was like a word for stale donuts, because this is like Depression era.
Yeah.
And a stale donut, you would have to dip in coffee to kind of get it soft and get it, make it taste good. And so that's what I believe is what they mean by sinkers.
Okay.
Stinkers. So he finds Andero. She's trying to steal an apple.
Uh-huh.
Barely tries to steal an apple. The guy is catching her way before she even
she's looking did at
anything.
It.
Yeah. But I guess she's supposed to look maybe like a street urchin or something.
Yeah.
And she collapses in his arms, and as she collapses in Carl Denham's arms, and he gets a good look at her face, he gets this look on his face, and he goes, "Hey, taxi!" It feels very shady, and that's that.
Yeah.
But he takes her to a diner, and he feeds her. We learn her name is Andero. And he's Hilzine trying to convince her to go with him this thing. He's got a great, he says, it's money and adventure and fame. It's a thrill of a lifetime and a long sea voyage that leaves at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And she has an acting background as an extra a couple times.
Yeah.
So that's good. There's some experience.
Well, that's more experience than the guy who played Jack had. That guy who played Jack, Bruce Cabot.
Yeah.
This is his first movie. And he was spotted by Cooper
stealing apples
as a doorman at a Hollywood club.
Oh, okay.
And then he got the job.
That's cool. I found out he's in the movie Diamonds Are Forever.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. He plays a character called Bruce Saxby. Ladies are trouble as far as boats are concerned.
Oh, man. He hits her.
Yeah.
Women are a nuisance. I'll try not to be. You've been in the way already. And I was like, yeah, my fist. Because he hit her in the face.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I'm afraid I didn't apologize for hitting you. He still didn't apologize.
Yeah.
That was a pretty tough rap on the chin. Yeah. Yeah. It's like these two, it's like, I don't get the point where they fall in love exactly. Because he has no chemistry. She's doing a lot. She's like looking at him, doing like love face and stuff like that. And he is so, yeah. I don't know.
Are you talking about the cook?
Charlie.
Charlie. He's not looked down upon. He seems like a regular member of the crew. It's just the dialogue.
He's important. He's the one who discovers that she's gone.
Yeah.
Even though when he wants to go help, he just shows up with a cleaver in his hand.
I think if the dialogue wasn't such broken English, I think it would be fine.
Yeah, totally.
But
But that's the character that Chinese people have to play in this.
yeah.
Because this guy was born in the United States. Women can't help being a bother. Made that way, I guess. Felt so bad for that monkey
It
tied
looks
to the
sad.
deck.
It looks sad.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's just. He's just sitting there, he's tied to it. So it's like, oh, they can't.
It's just there to be there.
They don't want him to go anywhere. And he's standing right by their feet, and they're not even looking where they're stepping. Ugh, it's just.
And he never shows
It's
up again.
It's so troubling when you see animals in old movies.
I looked up on Wikipedia when bras were invented. Is the first time. I don't know if it's just because I ended up purching it on iTunes, and I don't know what
Did it
happened.
like recently? You
Yeah,
like you
like.
just did?
Yeah,
Oh.
and I don't, because I don't know what happened to my DVD of it, and I don't know if it's because it's an HD or what, but I didn't know, I never noticed Anne's outfit on the boat, and yeah, it made me look that up.
Well, it's pre-code, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Code was like right before. Code was 34.
Okay. Is it because of this movie?
No, I don't think it was because of this
Well,
movie
there's
necessarily.
this movie, like, as soon as they get to Skull Island, it's like nonstop. And I'm wondering, like, what people thought at the time, because there's the abduction of Anne and she's tied up and stuff, and it's she's screaming, and like, as a, someone in the movies, you don't know what it is, you know, that's coming. And then
You do know
also,
because the poster's got a giant gorilla on
yeah,
it.
that's true.
It's like I feel like the poster gave away like all these movies that build up the mystery of these monsters, and you go, no, if you saw the poster walking in the theater, you know it's going to be a giant octopus. You know it's
Yeah.
you know. So that's my you know how I don't like to watch trailers and all that kind of
Yeah.
business too. It's like the least I know. If I know I'm going to see it, the least I know about it is the better.
Yeah. But I mean, even the stuff with like the islanders and stuff, like, is that the kind of stuff that would scare people? 'Cause it seemed like everybody from the crew seemed very concerned about just being on there with natives. And I'm wondering if her abduction and all of this stuff is like more like a horror movie, if it was more terrifying. 'Cause when I was watching it, I was thinking, I'm like, this isn't set up like fun. This is like a scary adventure. And
Well, right. Well, so I also was like looking for old 1933 reviews of the movie.
oh, okay.
And I was like looking through like stuff like with the review that I think I found like a review from Variety and a review from the New York Times. I think Variety talked about how like it feels kind of silly at the beginning
Huh.
because the dialogue is bad and not all the acting is great. But then you start seeing these puppets, and it starts silly. But then you get then about at some point the audience gets into it, and then the monster fights get really good.
I feel like you can say the same thing about Skull Island, the Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know what you meant.
Like when you go to see the movie, you're like, you're like, okay, I'm gonna go see this, you know, monster movie. And Godzilla was played kind of serious, and then you start slowly realizing, oh, this isn't serious. This is supposed to be like B movie and campy. And then once you get, you know, into like the helicopter sequence and stuff, and you start you kind of get into it. And I felt like this movie felt a lot like Skull Island with the setup. The setup is quick. The you know, someone wants to get to Skull Island, and they bring a bunch of people. And then once you get to the island, it's just nonstop, just stuff, you know, attacking you, all sorts of monsters and creatures and.
Yeah, and it's just adventure. It's like when you read Treasure Island when you're little. It's like there's no character development. It doesn't go deep in anything. Yeah. It's just one adventure after the other.
Yeah, this is my favorite Skull Island.
The Skull Island's awesome. Okay, yeah. So well, wait. So first of all, Skull. It's just an island with the Skull Mountain on it.
Yeah,
and then the whole. Did you ever hear of Kong? That scene. The scene on the deck of the boat before they even get to Skull Island, and she's putting on her costumes and she's doing screen tests on the deck. And that's the first time we hear her scream. Uh-huh. And she's going to scream from then on pretty much all over this movie. But that was one of the things in the reviews. It's like so-and-so just basically screaming the whole time. But she's sitting there and she's acting for the camera, like you're looking at it, higher, you know, just, and then scream that whole thing. And it cuts to three guys on the ladder. One of them is Charlie and two other guys who work on the ship.
Yeah,
and they are so close on that ladder that basically they're each, you know, the bottom guy's head is where the next guy's butt is.
It's a human centipede, and I think the dialogue is, well, that looks kinda silly.
Yeah, it looks kind of silly, don't it?
It's like, what?
I mean, I was like, are they in on that joke? They gotta be. I don't know.
It's... Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna try to fit that onto the album art for sure.
Yeah.
There's certain things I see in movies, like while I'm watching the movies, where I'm like, okay, that's album art. That's album art.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the ship's called the Venture.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we talk about that being referenced?
It was referenced in Skull Island.
Yeah, wasn't it?
That was that. I think I'm trying to remember how that worked. It's either the ship that's on Skull Island that they kind of used as a barrier, or it was a different version. It was like a. I don't think this is based on anything, but it might have been based on an earlier name. But I know the Venture is in the other Kong movies. In Skull Island, it's the Athena. But I think the Venture might be on the island. But I thought it was something else.
Yeah, I thought there was like you know what? The freighter in Lost World Jurassic Park is called the SS Venture. Mm-hmm. Sky Captain, the Venture appears three times. I thought there was a... Sky Captain,
the Wanderer, Voyage Skull Island. However, the filmmakers seem to dug a little deeper. The novelization of the original King Kong screenplay, author Delos Lovelace, and was in material that didn't make it into the film. The book came out in 1932. It is unclear when I transport the Wanderer. So, in the novelization that came out a year before. The ship is called the Wanderer, and that's what's in Skull Island.
Okay.
So Skull Island didn't have the Venture, had the Wanderer, assuming that the Venture made it off the island.
Okay.
Have you seen Most Dangerous Game? The movie that came out a year before this with Shotsack and Cooper made a year before Kong, and it was... I think Faye Ray is also in it, and it was sort of a test film to create a lot of these jungle settings.
Oh,
like to
really?
take the sets and expand the jungle. It's a movie I have. I recommend checking it out. I think it's 1932. It might even still be 33, the way they made movies back then. But
Yeah.
it's a short movie. It's about an hour and I don't know, like an hour and 5 minutes or something. But you could see a lot of similarities with the jungle in that film and the jungle in this one. It has that same sort of rear projection look.
Oh, okay.
And they do a lot of kind of like the same stuff of like, hiding on cliffs and stuff like that. So if you get a chance, it's interesting. It's like a Kong movie without Kong.
By the way, Robert Armstrong, who played Carl Denham in his IMDb known for section, Mighty Joe Young.
Oh. Okay. Because he's in Son of Kong, right? I think he's the only one that came back. I'm trying to remember.
Man, you think he was just typecast? Like, oh no, you only make gorilla movies now.
Wasn't it all the same dudes? Like, Schoedsack and Cooper did Son of Kong, like, either the same year or the following year. Like, they both came out, like, within a year of each other, which is crazy because of all the effects. I don't know how they.
Oh yeah, Michael Young was directed by Schoedsack, and Cooper did the original story. So he just kind of like flipped around and did different. They switched jobs and stuff.
The thing about this movie that's for me with the effects is the timing.
Yeah, the
Like
editing.
the way that the puppets move in relation to the live action stuff is really timed out well.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things when Kong throws some stuff where it lands maybe a little late.
Yeah.
But other than that, like anytime there's like a puppet arm holding Anne with
That
Kong
part
in the
was the most
foreground.
amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, a life-size arm with the puppet imposed in front of it.
And he's pulling her dress off.
It looks amazing. And it's a great, because when they animate a human in his hand, it looks ridiculous. I
There's a
mean,
lot
you
more of
could
that than
tell.
I
It's
remember.
very obvious. It's very obvious. It's like, oh, that's a, because they make them move their arms real weird. And so, but that, the fake arm, the big arm stuff was so good.
Yeah, but to have Kong pull off like her top, and then he has the
Oh,
cloth in his
man.
hand, it's
Right.
like coordinating it. I don't know how they did that. They must have just timed it all out. I don't know, but that was some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, I wish he didn't sniff as much.
Yeah, he does.
He smelled everything on her. And
Yeah.
then he would like touch her and then smell his fingers.
Yeah, that's a note I
It
have.
got real unsettling. Okay, so okay, let's back up. Let's go, we're on the island now. Okay, natives.
Yeah. I didn't look up the actors. I decided that they were the race that they were portraying.
I was looking up, first I was looking up on the map, because like they talk about we're way west of Indonesia. And so I was, because I just was checking that, that, because these are clearly African natives. And I was like, okay, so are we in an area that's close to African natives? And it checked out enough, I guess. And that was fine. It's okay. Obviously, any movie that deals with natives, aside from Kong Skull Island, which I was pretty cool with,
Yeah. We'll see what happens in like 20 years or 30 years.
is a problem. I mean, at least it wasn't blackface, but man, they really did them up. All the bones, all the bone stuff everywhere. Even the fact that they're the thing that they tie Fairy to, the mechanism that loosens it and tightens it, is a bone that you twist.
Oh, I didn't notice
Yeah. Not only that, and Kong knows exactly how to undo it.
that.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But the big long arm things that the dancers wear,
Yeah.
when they do their Kong dance. I kind of like it, like as a ceremonial outfit for this people that worship a giant gorilla, that they do these big arms. Is cool. So I kind of like it, but I don't know if I'm supposed to feel bad for liking it.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like I said, it's not, they're not in blackface, which is great.
No, but it's still, it's a very savage depiction of natives.
Yeah. I think it's okay. I think compared to other movies we've watched, it's definitely okay. Like, Gamera versus Barragan. There's some real bad stuff in that.
Yeah.
Of course, King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah, but it's not like, we're not going to get in the, we're not in the business of defending any of these portrayals as far as as a rule, these are insensitive. And then on top of that,
it's one of those things.
We're not going to rank them like going, this is less racist.
It's one of those things where every time a scene comes up like this, I sit there and I analyze it. And I'm like, make sure I'm okay with it. Usually I'm not. This one I wasn't that as yeah, it's fine. I think it's fine.
But
I think the biggest problems are the treatment of women and the treatment of Charlie's dialogue. Like, yeah, there's definitely stuff in here that's problems. But yeah, I don't know.
But
I like the Kong suits.
Like, as a kid, like, I remember, same thing. It's like in the 1970s Kong, the lead guy who had that Kong mask on, and with all the things coming off the back, I thought it was so cool looking when I was a kid.
And then the ceremony is recreated. But it's interesting
because they do this and then they swing the big arms. It was like. It's like planting the seeds of like, okay, it's gonna be a gorilla.
Yeah,
it was there, but just seeing that's how they did it, I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a portrayal of savage natives.
But this ceremony was reenacted in the Peter Jackson one for the Broadway stage version. Which we'll get into the Broadway show later, but the Peter Jackson one had more of a, it was more of a show, and then the revealing of Kong, and then they had.
Are you saying after they brought Kong to New York?
Yeah, they had a
floor show first.
Yeah, and it was the recreation of this, so they had the dancers with the gorilla.
Yeah, the arms
and stuff. Yeah.
Oh really? Oh okay.
I'm sure we'll get to that one eventually.
Of course, we have.
Yeah, yeah. So Anne gets abducted, and this is where, like, kind of the rest of the movie is just nonstop action.
Well, first is the whole... Wait, first is them sneaking around. They're sneaking around as a big group, and they get caught during the ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And then there is the discussion with the chief, and there's also the witch doctor, the one guy, the one captain of the ship guy who can speak their language. Even though this is an uncharted island, the tense meeting, and then they goes, "All right, we're just going to leave now." And he does this thing where Carl Denham, he walks away and he has his hat tilted, and he just starts doing like that whistle as you walk away.
Yeah.
And then okay, so then we're back on the deck, and then this is the dumbest romance between those two.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know you aren't women. There's a part when he grabs her and I don't know if this is supposed to be some kind of euphemism or if they're referring to something. Cause he goes, "Are you on deck?" And he looks at the camera and goes like, "Yes, sir."
Yeah. I don't know.
When he's like making out with her.
I wonder if this is a commentary from Cooper about how earlier he said, oh, they're asking for more love interests in movies. And so he's just like, I'm going to put one in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Just make it kind of.
And it just sucks.
Yeah.
I don't think it was meant to suck on purpose. I think
it's a weird relationship.
Cause then they grab her and then they figure out she's gone.
Yeah. Charlie figures it out.
I kept trying to figure out what Charlie was saying. I kept backing it up and playing in where he says like, me like go to me, like catch him easy. I think something along those lines with his cleaver in his hand. And they're like, this isn't a place for cooks, basically.
Yeah.
And then they get to the island. Mm-hmm. Back to the island, and now it's a rescue.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the island, there's a big Kong ceremony. That's because now they have Andero to give them. The giant wall set. That giant set, it's humongous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got ladders. People are climbing up it with the giant door. Now, that was from a 1927 movie. It was the Temple of Jerusalem. It was the Temple of Jerusalem from Cecil B. DeMille's King of Kings.
Okay. And they just repurposed it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that set's amazing.
Yeah.
And the big thing on the door, the thing that slides across.
And the gong.
The long shot of them opening the gate and the camera just coming down and zooming in all the way through. And we can see the altar. It's just so huge. I mean, they spent so much money on movies back then on this type of stuff.
Or it was just cheaper to make.
So then they lock her into the altar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all climb up to the top to take a look. There's a gong. They're ringing gongs up there. Yeah. I mean, where'd the gongs go? The first thing you do is you hear the roar. Okay. One thing that always looks stupid when it happens in this movie is the close-up of Kong's face.
Yeah, the real...
It does not match the Kong we see in the long shots.
Yeah.
He's kind of like
dopey,
goofy, yeah, and silly. Like he's a little drunk or a little. It looks goofy. I mean, I like the fact that they made a giant Kong head.
Yeah, because you could stick just guys in there.
It's fantastic. The fact that they did that is fantastic.
Yeah,
it's goofy. Oh yeah, I wrote that the switch to the dolls is smooth. When he goes to grab her and then she's a doll in his hand. It's really well done. There's a part where Kong takes Anne and Jack finally gets there and he can look through a hole that's in the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he sees her instantly. Like there is no moment where he sees her. He gets the gate and reacts without even, like he never even saw anything. The gas bombs that are in this box that you can wear like a backpack was kind of funny.
That would be a cool prop to have.
That box?
Those gas bomb.
Yeah.
They're cool looking.
That'd be cool in some movie to kind of like see a box like that on a shelf somewhere. It's just like as an Easter egg-y thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so then becomes the big trench to the jungle with a bunch of the crew. And it's just like, oh, they're all going to die. Like, we know it because we've been exposed to this movie. So the first monster they run into is a Stegosaurus.
Yep. It looks awesome.
And the Stegosaurus is so pissed to see them. He goes after them. Yeah. And they shoot him in the face.
A bunch.
And there's a part where they're like, what do you call this thing? And he goes, something from the dinosaur family.
Yeah.
But I loved as they walk along the dead thing. And the tail's moving as they keep going along it. I thought that was cool. It kind of reminded me of like the Disneyland submarine ride when they would have the sea monster.
Yeah, you're just following
like,
the tail.
And you would follow it going. And then there's like the thing at the end was moving. A lot of the walking dialogue seemed improvised. Because they're just like, oh, over here, boys. Oh, get up in it. All right, you keep those things close here. You know, just random things to throw out. Like, there's like, you gotta do. They build rafts really fast.
Yeah. There's
Yeah,
even a
it's just.
thing dialogue later where Denim says, "We'll quick, we'll build a raft for Kong." Apparently, they have raft building skills.
There's so many monsters in this in such a short amount of time. It's
Yeah.
just like each scene is chock full with another
Just
thing.
keeps going.
So then they build the raft, they get on the water, and then up comes the neck of the Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
He dumps a raft, he eats people and spits them out. He's just tossing people around.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of the monsters in this movie like to just kill people via mouth.
Yeah.
They don't eat them.
No, it's just kill. It's harder to. Yeah, maybe eating was too much. There's the guy who climbs the tree. I liked how like they had they had both the brontosaurus in the water, and then he ends up chasing them out on land. I thought that was cool. Yeah, the guy in the tree is great. And then there's like what's called the Log of Doom, which is the big.
That gets everybody gone.
Yeah, that finishes him up.
Yeah,
And
except for Denim and Jack, Daryl. No, Jack.
all the dummies falling into the crevice, the ravine.
Yeah. And then the one where the log falls. Does it fall with a guy? Or it lands
At
on a
the end,
guy? Yeah.
yeah. The dropping of dummies is pretty great.
Because the.
It's silly looking, but yeah, I really enjoyed it.
But some of the impacts are pretty great. There's that one where the guy falls and then kind of slides off into the into like a deeper hole.
Yeah, and like the last, even Kong, the Kong dummy, when he drops, it's pretty great.
Are you calling
There's
it
a
a.
thing that was cut out of this movie.
Oh, that was the spider sequence, right?
That's the spiders apparently came in and devoured them when they were in the ravine, I think,
Yeah.
into the chasm.
Yeah. And then are we calling this next thing the Skull
Imagine what
Pounder?
that would have been like. Oh man, that would like.
Wait, didn't they do that? They went back and Peter
Did
Jackson oversaw it and did that sequence.
they restored it?
They took images and concept designs that were available, made puppets based on the artwork, and did a stop motion recreation of what they thought that scene would look like.
They did?
Yeah, should look it up.
King Kong. Oh, King Kong Lost Spider Pit Sequence.
Then try typing in Peter Jackson because I think he
No,
was
it's here,
in.
yeah. King Kong 83, The Lost Spider Pit Sequence, Peter Jackson Recreation. Oh, man.
It's 5 minutes long.
It's long. But the
You watching it?
I had no idea. This is like, I guess this is going to be cut out, I'm guessing.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, the spider's crabs?
It's got, I think it's kind of like the spider
Oh, there.
in Kong Skull
Oh.
Island, where it has like crab arms and spider legs.
But this is just. There's no version that they actually cut this into the movie.
No. And Peter Jackson said he would never cut it into the movie. He just wanted to see what it looked like, and it's essentially just for fun.
Okay, it's. All right, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There's so many monsters in that, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I was like, oh, I remember seeing a version that they did. They actually, you saw, or maybe, is it?
Might be his movie.
No, but okay, so the thing with the two legs, do you see him on the ground start climbing up
No,
in an old version of it?
I don't remember.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was something I had seen later on, like looking at YouTube and stuff. Because like after reading that about Jordanville Roberts, that was one of the influences on the skull crawlers,
Yeah.
because they only had the two legs. And I went looking up the two-legged monster from King Kong, and it was basically the clip of him from the ground start doing the climb up. Like you see him later when he's up there and he's climbing up the vine, and it's Jack's got a cut the vine to drop him.
Yeah.
I liked Kong trying to reach Jack in that cave. And the way the music goes.
Yeah, the score to this movie is like a huge deal. Mm-hmm. As far as like film music goes. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff that Max Steiner did in this movie was like stuff that had never been done before. If I remember my history correctly, using low tones for like stuff that we like just assume like low tones for things that are ominous and strings to, you know, add suspense and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I noticed that part too. The little kind of every time Kong tried to get his hand in that little cave. It's another one of those timing shots, and the shots would go on for a while. Like even the log, when Kong was pulling the log, it would go back and forth. And I'm like, man, they really timed this stuff out.
And they did, yeah. There's so much of like so many animated sequences. They just let them play and just let them go, and Kong would do all kinds of like reactions and stuff, and then a little more action, then he'd kind of, you know, back up, reassess the situation, then go back in and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, and as soon as that's over, boom, a T-Rex shows up.
This is it, right? This is like the fight. This is the one I always remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the legend. Mm-hmm. And she screams, so Kong knows to come back. Uh-huh. Now I was watching the fight, and there's definitely looks like they used basically collegiate wrestlers,
uh-huh.
or they use wrestlers to like kind grappling. Of like simulate the fight, because there's parts where like he does stuff. He does like a single leg takedown. he does this roll off thing, and the way Kong he kind of locks up with the T-Rex. And he's grabbing his arm and kind of moving him around a little bit to get the advantage.
Uh-huh.
It was totally like wrestling. I mean, if it was two guys in suits, they would have been doing wrestling moves.
Uh-huh. This is another thing that Peter Jackson recreated.
Yeah.
So he in the Peter Jackson one, he fights the two T-Rexes, and it goes through the jungle, and it's all kinds of crazy stuff. But then when Kong faces off with the last T-Rex, like they matched this fight like perfectly.
Oh, cool.
From like that point on, all the way to the breaking of the jaw, which is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. It's what you wait for now when you see Kong fight.
And Jordan Vogt Roberts started to do that with Kong and the giant.
It looks like he's gonna do it. And then you feel it. Yeah,
that was awesome.
Instead, he just reaches into his throat and yanks his innards.
And that's like something like made only for Kong fans. Like you're like, oh, he's gonna do his finishing move now. Oh no, it didn't work. Now what? It's like
And then Kong also is great, because after he kills a monster, he spends some time making sure they're dead.
Yeah.
He lifts their arm up, he checks them.
Yeah.
And then he pounds his chest.
Yeah.
In celebration.
There was what I thought was a giant snake, but then it had tiny legs.
Right. Right. It started out as a snake, and he goes, oh no, this is like a plesiosaur.
Oh, okay.
they had like giant vulture type birds, basically.
Oh yeah, picking at the
eating the T-Rex.
Oh, the T-Rex. That's right.
As the blood was flowing from its mouth. Also, the notion is like as soon as Kong sets Anne down anywhere, a monster shows up to grab her.
Yeah, she's a hot commodity.
Yeah, and so, the plesiosaur, he slams it down against the rocks and stuff. And then again, he's like picking up his limbs to see if he's dead. The pteranodon sequence I like a lot, too.
Yeah, that's another part where he busts the mouth open.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, this is where I started realizing that there's a ton of puppet people in this movie. Like when Kong is in his cave, right before the pterodactyl sequence, you could see Jack in the background, but it's a little puppet Jack.
Yeah.
And then you see like real people in the foreground. I think Anne's in the foreground. And then they do this thing where they make their way to a cliff.
By puppet people, you're meaning they animate like clay, basically yeah. like clay animation.
Yeah,
people.
The ones yeah. with like the noodle arms. So like Kong is on the cliff and this pterodactyl goes to get Anne.
Yeah.
And Kong fights him off. And that's when Jack's able to grab Anne and make yeah. their getaway. But instead of going back in the way he came, he decides to go over the side of the cliff on a rope or on right. a vine.
Right.
Which isn't probably the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
But all that stuff with Anne hanging off of Jack.
Yeah, but also, was, I mean, again, stuff that was built for this movie. The Pteranodon claw arms
yeah.
holding Anne for the close-ups and stuff. Mm. Insane. Yeah, and he's so Kong tries to pull up the vine.
Uh-huh. But it's cool watching her hang off because she's really hanging on to him.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like nowadays you'd have them hanging on wires and then...
Yeah.
But she was really hanging on and he was climbing down with her.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. Maybe that's when they fell in love. Oh, so they fall off that cliff.
Yeah.
And there's a shot of two puppets falling towards the water.
Yeah.
It looked like they were going to hit the rocks below.
Oh, yeah. It was really close to the rocks.
And I got really anxious as they were falling. I'm like, oh, no, she's going to hit the rocks. And I'm like, it's clearly a puppet.
It's a dummy. Yeah.
But I knew that puppet wasn't her, but still was like, they're going to die.
Okay, so I wonder how many times they threw dummies over there and the dummies actually hit the rocks.
I don't know, but they're coming. It came really close.
Really close.
And okay. It was actually suspenseful. As stupid as that dummy looked.
And then cut to there. They make it back to the village.
Oh, yeah. This is this part. I forgot about this part.
Well, okay. So Carl wants to bring Kong with him.
Yeah.
And he thinks they can just gas bomb up and it'll be fine. And they're like, well, how do we get him here? And they're like, Anne could be the bait, basically.
Yeah.
But Kong's coming anyway, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. They don't need to do that because Kong shows up. This part of the native stuff troubled me more than the first time we saw it.
There's two things that bothered me. First of all, I like Kong destroying all the huts and stuff and grabbing people, puppet people out of windows.
But there's also stuff like, there's like natives jumping off and like they end up like, kicking this cage that was used for chickens and stuff. There's like,
oh yeah,
but the suspense of it when they close the gate and he's on the other side and you see the wood start to break. Yeah. There's some great suspenseful moments in this movie.
Yeah,
and he breaks through and Kong is pissed. Okay, so yes, a couple things. I know one of them.
My two notes are. The native baby and the coconut lady.
I consider that as one note. Yeah, because it's like it's one thing and then the next. Yeah. The Those. Coconut lady. Oh, God. Not good. Also, you know the natives in the dirt that he keeps stomping on.
Is it? I couldn't tell if he was stomping on. Like if it was supposed to look like he was crushing them into the ground or yeah, into like some sort of quicksand because it kind of it's a little watery.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But then it was a giant Kong foot that they built.
They did. They built a giant Kong foot. Yeah. And listen, it's like seeing the white guy at the end of the movie in Kong's mouth doesn't bother me as much as the native guy in Kong's mouth. It's just... But it's just like, because it's such a, the outfits are so, you know, it's all bones and feathers. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. They gas bomb him. Yeah, that's what it's like. We'll teach him fear.
Yeah.
We're millionaires, boys. And I'll share with all of you. Yeah, well, it's like Carl Denning turns into like this kind of chilling character.
He's been... exploiting everybody the whole time, even in that moment when he says we'll use Anne to guide him back here, and even like getting
his movie is the most important thing.
Yeah, and then going to like a woman's shelter to exploit one of them to, you know, to be in this movie to use her, you know, So it's kind of in his character, but it's he's a real piece of work.
Yeah. Any more island stuff? Do you have any more island stuff?
The only thing was the explanation of let's build a raft real quick.
Right.
And ship him back, which we do not see.
We don't see that process.
Yeah, we don't see it. It just cuts to Kong, the Eighth Wonder of the World.
Yeah. There's a long time ago when I was little that I misheard that Kong was referred to as the Eighth Wonder of the World, as the Ape Wonder of the World.
Uh-huh.
And in my head, I still like referring to him as the Ape Wonder of the World. And I even sometimes have used gamer tags that I've used.
Yeah, as Ape Wonder. I think I've somewhere I have seen that somewhere.
Ape Wonder references. Yeah, I like using it a lot too.
So tickets cost $20. This guy spent $20 on tickets. Did you go and check the inflation thing to see how much?
No.
I did. So I'm assuming he bought both tickets for $20.
We don't know exactly what the relationship is with these two people. You're talking about the lady goes, "What a mob," and he goes, "Well, you would come. These tickets cost me $20."
Yeah. So he says these tickets. So I'm assuming he got two tickets.
For $20.
For $20. In 1933, $376.
Okay.
And he doesn't even know what he's seeing.
Yeah.
So he's put his faith in denim. But I guess they think they're going to see a picture.
But we don't know. Yeah. And also, you're right. It's a lot for a movie.
Yeah. $376 bucks. Yeah. And then Carl Denham says that the box office for opening night was 10,000. And I looked that up and that comes out to $188,000. Yeah. So it's pretty good for the opening night.
I hear it's a kind of gorilla. And we got enough of them in New York.
Sure. It's so weird.
This is where I wrote my note. No empathy. Oh, yeah. Man, they really hit the Beauty and the Beast thing so hard. The quote, the beginning, and even Carl Denver was talking about, we need a beauty, this whole thing. And then when the reporters are there, they're like, oh, like a Beauty and the Beast. He goes, oh, yeah, go with that.
Would you go to this show? Like, knowing that it's Kong, you probably would. But if you don't know what a Kong is.
I don't know if I would. No, I don't think I would.
The show's kind of...
Wait. You mean not knowing what it is at all?
Yeah. Either way, what if you did know Kong was going to be there? Would you go?
No.
It's kind of cruelty to animals.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Which I think,
especially if you know that he's going to be chained up like that.
Yeah. I would go see Mighty Joe Young. I'd go see Joe Young because he's like a friend and he can communicate.
Wait, you
with
think
him.
No? Mighty Joe Young. You think that's less cruel?
Well, I think that Mighty Joe Young, he's friends with the show, the Ringmaster's like daughter, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And there's some sort of communication between them. And I don't think he's taken to the show in chains.
Right. But do you remember what they do to him?
I don't remember. He does a dance and then everybody has a good time.
He's dressed as like an organ grinding monkey.
Oh shit! Okay.
And he's got like a little like fez hat on. He's got like a cup, and all the people in the audience have these like things that are like giant coins, and they just start throwing them at him.
Oh well, the people suck. Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah, well, that's the design of the show. All the people suck. Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in a while. The show itself is kind of interesting.
It's terrible.
It's, yeah, as far as the show goes.
Hold on, wait a second. Okay. So the press, because like there's the previous press stuff and then there's the show press stuff. He says, we knocked some of the fight out of him since you saw him to her. I was like, oh God, what? This is evil at this point.
Yeah.
Merely a captive, a show to gratify your curiosity becomes, it's just like, oh, like, this is why I avoid, zoos and circuses now. And, And it's like, I was like wondering if, the reason I went and I was starting to look up reviews, because I wanted to know if people felt bad for Kong in 1933 if you went to the movie.
Huh.
And I didn't find anything that kind of gave me evidence that they did, but yeah, I don't know. I think you'll feel bad. You feel bad for him a little bit at the end when he's getting shot at, I think.
Yeah.
But the show is, here it is, here's a monster. But before we continue with the show, whatever the show is going to be, let's have the press come and take pictures as well.
Yeah.
And again, the guy doesn't know what he's doing. Like, hey, put your arm around her. That's what humans do when they love each other and stuff.
They're gonna and get that causes tomorrow.
Kong to break out. And they explain it that Kong thinks that Jack's hurting him.
The weird thing is, it's like they reveal Kong and then they come out and tell the story of how they escaped.
Right.
It should be the other way. You should tell the story and then have the
and this reveal. Is what they escaped from.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just the show as a show is like, you're just there to look at it, but it's not really a show.
Okay, so Kong breaks out.
Yeah.
He eats another guy, or he just gets him in his mouth.
Yeah.
I think it's, I like when he's outside, he does this thing that a lady screams, and he hears it, and he climbs up. And up there, he finds a lady and grabs her. Uh-huh. She was like in the bed, I think. He grabs her. And it's not Anne.
No.
So he drops her.
Yeah. It's pretty disturbing.
But a little bit funny.
The effect is funny.
Now, here's another composite thing that I liked. I liked Kong head in the window, his face in the window, and the big hand coming in.
Uh-huh.
It's just so cool.
Then he pulls the bed.
Yeah. Yeah. And she didn't even try to run away. She's just, no, what, just so there. Frozen in fear?
I guess so. Even though she should be used to Kong by now.
And then Kong busts up the train.
Yeah, that part's good.
Yeah. The way Carl's working with the cops or the feds and stuff, I mean, like, he's coming up with the idea. Oh, you know, we have tried planes.
Yeah. You would think the first thing you would go to is the smoke bombs.
The gas bombs.
Yeah. And I feel like the gas bomb should have been at the show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you get the crew members. You get the crew members there.
Right, but all the faith was in that chrome steel they had.
Yeah.
They didn't think anything was going to happen.
Chrome steel. That made me laugh. I was like, was that was the strongest thing back then? Like, now we would have said, like, titanium.
Yeah, right. Don't worry.
Carbon fiber.
The biplanes were cool.
Yes.
The conversation between the people and the planes is a little silly. Like, oh, point, point, look. Oh, you're there. Boom, boom. Don't, you know, come back to them. But, yeah, this shooting is brutal. And he gets shot, and he, like, ah, and he checks. He looks at his, he's like, oh, he checks his wounds. It's heartbreaking when there's a, then when he's like, he then has a stumble. It kind of comes up, and then, he's out. Yeah. And you see the dummy drop.
And he hits a couple times on the way down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bummer. Like,
it's a bummer. Was it a bummer for people?
I don't know.
I can see it being a bummer for kids.
I mean, he's depicted, it's like he's depicted as just a monster. But I feel like Willis O'Brien put more humanity into the animation than probably was originally intended. So when he dies, you know, he's struggling to stay up, but more importantly, he's trying to reach out for her.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to let her go. And it's like, this is more sad than they probably intended. They probably intended it. It's just a monster and we're going to go kill it with the
plane.
Then
we kill him and it's over.
And like, we're supposed to be happy. And it's not the beauty that killed the beast. It's Carl Denham that did.
Yeah.
Beauties don't kill beasts. People do.
That's why that's him. That's him spinning the story.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
And the thing is, the cops are keeping everybody away from Kong. And Carl Denham comes up And he's like, let me through. And they're like, well, don't you know who he is? He's the one that brought Kong. And I'd be like, arrest that man.
Yeah, I know.
But they just let him through. Like,
oh, here you go.
Like, what do you guys know? He's the guy that got it. Arrest him and send him to jail.
Yeah. Your plan's worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. I think the 70, what is it, 74? That one's brutal, right? Isn't there like all kinds of blood everywhere with the plane shooting it?
It's 74. It can't be 74.
That's not what the other one is?
76.
Okay. Yeah, that one's a bummer too.
Yeah, but that one has empathy. Like you side with Kong earlier on.
Yeah. But it's hard to, I mean, yeah. It would be interesting to see this movie in 33 with a crowd.
Yeah, I wonder.
I still want to see it on the big screen.
This is okay. So yeah, so this movie has, you know, so yeah, the native stuff. It's like I was just thinking how like it just reminded me that how when we go through these movies and we go like, oh, this is bad, and then we sit there like, but then I conveniently forget and overlook things like I still think of King Kong versus Godzilla as like a movie I like a lot.
Yeah.
But then when I watch it, I'm like, oh yeah, oh no, oh this stuff, oh boy. But then, but it's like an idea of like you remember the good parts. Like here, what I think about when I think of King Kong is like all the dinosaur fights.
Yeah, yeah, the dinosaur fights and the city rampage.
And the big and then
I completely forgot about the village rampage, and that's probably for the better.
The coconut bra lady.
It was like almost something out of like Airplane.
You forget about it. Read what it is. Yeah, it was. It totally was. Yeah, what it is like you go like, shit, and then and like you forget. You forget about the baby, and then when you see the baby, you go, oh no! And then the coconut lady happens like right then. Man, yeah.
I like it still.
Yeah, I mean it's really hard not to be impressed by the effects.
Yeah,
and then on top of that. The effects for their time.
Yeah, because I think a couple of years after this is when they did the Flash Gordon serials, which I'm a big fan of. Yeah. And they have like a giant sort of kaiju-esque monster in it, and it's like the worst man in a suit you've ever seen. Or they'll do like model shots where it's just like they take like iguanas and put some like clay spikes on their back so they look kind of like stegosauruses or something. And they kind of they just kind of run around and it's like It's crazy, like, at the time. Like, these effects are they hold up.
And the hair. I loved, like, how, like, they, you know, the way the tufts of hair on his body move, which is just, like, basically the fingerprints as they were, like, moving the armature.
And I don't know if Willis O'Brien did all this on his own or if he had a group of people.
I don't know.
But it, I know, like, I think. When's the last time you saw Son of Kong? For me, it's been a while.
Maybe a year.
But I remember it came out either the same year or the year after. And like the effects are even better. All the comp shots are even better. Like it's crazy how they're able to pull this stuff off with no computers, with no anything.
Yeah, there's a really funny bit in Son of Kong that's like where like they throw him a banana.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, it is the same year, 1933.
That's nuts, right?
That is really nuts. Released December 22nd, 1933. And the original Kong was like March, I think.
Jeez.
That's nuts. Listen, there is a bit of reverence about it because it's just, you know, it's.
The first. Oh, no.
Okay, so I go to IMDb and I'm looking up. I'm going back and forth between Son of Kong and King Kong, and so then I go and I go back and I click on King Kong, and you know it came up as there's a listing at IMDb for King Kong the movie, but there's also a listing at IMDb for King Kong the actor in the King Kong movie.
Yeah, I think I saw that. It reminds me of Night Shift. Barney Rubble, what an actor. So our next
go ahead
our next episode is Gamera versus Guiron.
Sure, that sounds
this
good.
This is the fifth Gamera
Finally,
movie.
We get Knifehead.
Finally. And so, yeah, check that out for next week. If you don't have it, go to our kaiju list and click the link, and you'll be able to watch it. And, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And that is going to be it. Go to kaijupod.com, and that'll give you links to our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And, shit. Until next time. Oh. I'm gonna go invent the bra.
I'm gonna go and soak up the aroma of these gas bombs.
Norwegian skipper must have been guessing at the position.
How will we know it's the right island?
The mountain that looked like a skull.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten. You told me. Skull Mountain.
Quite a deep 20.
Shallowing fast.
Mr. Brake, dead slow.
Dead slow, sir.
Why don't the old man heave to till it clears?
Tain't the old man. It's that crazy guy, Denham. Listen. Hear anything?